Support this podcast and keep us going. Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 766.
Today, Sharla asks,
I have recently had an incurable case of writer's block. It has been going on for months, and it is beginning to become a real pain. I can write, but after two or three paragraphs, I just get stuck. I guess starting out a story is a difficult part. Once I'm wrapped up in the middle of a story, I can usually find the drive to just type, type, type. But lately, I haven't been able to get a story up and moving. How do I cure my writer's block? For me, I guess it's partly not knowing what to do, how to start, and sometimes I just delete what I had typed because I don't like it. So how do I cure this writer's block and get going again?
Well, the first thing you need to do, Sharla, is stop deleting things. The pattern of behavior you are talking about is one I have seen so many times. It just breaks my heart. You are trying to get it right. You're trying to get it perfect. You're looking for that feeling that it's all working well, which is a cover for indulging in a lot of perfectionism. And perfectionism is death. The most important thing at the beginning of a story is to get the story going. You can always circle back around and strengthen the opening if you need to. The book that I started during NaNoWriMo this year and completed in January, The Wolf of Venus, which we haven't put on the release schedule yet, but I'll let you guys know when it is. That book, I started with a very weak opening scene, and I knew it was a weak opening scene, but I couldn't figure out how to get into the story I wanted to tell without something. So I just started. I started with a scene that I knew I'd either probably replace or move to scene number two or something like that once I was done. I'm actually going to be circling around to do the read-through in another week or so, at which point I'll find out how weak that opening scene really is, but I know from experience that the important part is to get through that opening scene. Now, that said, you can also conquer this. Instead of powering through the opening scene, no matter how awful it is, just to get into the... Well, okay, let me get to that in a minute. What you need to get a story going is a character that wants something. That's it. Doesn't matter what they want. All that matters is that they want it and they don't have it. It could be they want their knee to stop hurting. They want to get an A in class. They want to win the affection of someone who they've taken a shine to. They want to go to the moon. Anything at all. As long as you know what it is, and by the end of scene one, the audience knows what it is. A few years ago, I was having a lot of trouble opening stories. After having written several books, I just hit this weird spell where I couldn't get into a story.
Yeah.
And so I decided that for the foreseeable future, I was going to put the objective for my character in line one. It didn't have to be like Bob wanted a pizza, though I did literally open Suave Rob's Double X Daring Do with the entire story for the whole book. We wanted to find the line, that perfect balance point between batshit insanity and sublime godlike power. And then I went on, that's the goal of any sportsman, right? And explained what the line was. But we know from literally the first six words of the book, they're trying to find the line. Whatever that line is, that's what they're trying to find. That's the whole book. The whole story is Rob trying to find the line and succeeding and failing and succeeding and failing along the way until finally he finds the line and discovers something about himself in the process. It's, you know, it's a fun story. Ideas Incorporated also started off with the thing the character desired in the first line. I don't have that one memorized, but it was something to the effect of, I'm going to kill the next person who says the words run flat tires in my presence. obviously, because he had a flat and the car wasn't running. But that right there, that gives you what he wants. He wants the car to run, and it's not running. That's what starts the story. If you're really having trouble starting a story, just start with telling us right away, in line one or paragraph one, what the character wants. You don't even have to tell us who the character is first, just tell us what's at stake. The stakes can evolve over the course of the book, but you gotta start off wanting something, even if it's, I want to get this pebble out of my shoe because it hurts. Well, I can't because I'm walking to school, but it really, really hurts, so okay, fine, I'll sit down and take it off. Now my shoe is off and I've got the pebble out, and suddenly a big dog is running at me, so I can't put my shoe on, so now I'm running one half barefoot and I get stuck up a tree. And, you know, things spin out like that. But you can try, as an exercise, this is a good way to develop strong openings, really. State the problem. State the character's desire that's driving the story, or at least the scene, in the first sentence or two. If you do that, you're already in the story. The rest of it comes naturally as a consequence of the character's desire. You can figure it all out from there. Another method is to skip the first scene. Write the second scene. If the first scene is not doing it for you, write yourself a one-sentence description of what happens in the first scene and then start writing scene two. Another thing that might be worth practicing, because this will get you out of the habit of deleting your work. When you are editing yourself as you go along, like you describe in your question, you are basically setting up habits that will eventually stop your writing entirely, as it already almost has, it sounds like. So make a rule for yourself. Make it a game. You're not allowed to delete anything. Anything that you say that's wrong, you have to correct by talking about how it was wrong in the next sentence, or just by playing it forward. It's like playing golf. You know, the central rule of golf is play the ball where it lies. Play story golf. Maybe just as an exercise. But you want to train yourself out of that mentality of trying to get it right. It does not matter if it's right. What matters is if it goes. You can't fix something that isn't there. Another tip, avoid using the term writer's block, because it's not writer's block. It's project block. There are emotional insecurity issues that you're dealing with. You're putting yourself under the wrong kind of pressure. Writer's block is a cop-out that we use to make it sound important. And it's really frustrating, so it feels like it should be important. But as I once heard Neil Gaiman say, of course you don't have writer's block. You wrote this question. So your problem is not that you can't write. The problem is that you're hitting a block on something in particular that you're trying to write. Calling it writer's block globalizes it. It makes it seem like a bigger problem than it is. It's an emotionally satisfying label because it feels official and it feels professional. And more importantly, it feels like it's as big as the frustration feels. The problem is when you use globalizing language for a localized problem, especially when it's an entirely psychological problem, you actually risk making the problem bigger. You write fiction, you know, if you use adjectives to describe something that are exaggerative and you use them enough, eventually your subconscious makes the flip and just assumes that they're an accurate description and starts to behave along those lines. So you want to avoid that globalizing language. Eventually, the only way to beat killer writer's block is to write. Figuring out why you're putting yourself under the kind of pressure you are can really help. If you can do anything to take that pressure off, that would be a good idea. Varying the music that you're listening to while you write, or adding music to the mix that matches the mood you're trying to evoke, that can really help if that's not something you're doing already. Changing the location of where you're writing, leaving your phone and not looking at it, and keeping the web browsers closed while you write, that's very important. And anything you can do to turn the writing session or the story that you're working on into a game will really help. Anything that will solidify the sense of play, because it's a creative activity. You want to be playing. You want to be experimenting and fooling around with things. And if you're really, really serious, that may just the attitude of being really, really serious for some people will kill their creative spirit. So if that's going on with you, you may want to rethink your mental approach. But my highest recommendation is to just try for a while stating your character's desire in line one. Give us the whole premise of the story in the book right in line one. Try writing from desire and frustration, because you're experiencing a lot of desire and frustration. You may as well use it. That puts the story front and center. All the secondary questions you've got. What do I do next? What happens here? How do I get it going? All of that gets swept aside right quick if you solve all of those problems in the first sentence. Your character has a problem. They have a desire that's not fulfilled. All stories start with an unfulfilled desire. The story is about the character's attempt to fulfill that desire, and frequently their failure to do it right up until the last page. Sometimes their failure to do it at all, like the Indiana Jones movies. Indiana Jones never fulfills his initial desire, except for in the Temple of Doom. But that's the reason that movie didn't work quite as well as the other two, even though there were some set pieces in it that were a lot stronger than the other two films. And yes, I know, technically there was a fourth film, but it doesn't count. So, that's what I've got.
In addition to all of that, one of the things that seemed to work for me when we were doing the NaNoWriMo was arguing with myself on the page. I berated myself over being a dork and batted around ideas on the plot direction. It's like, what do you mean they're not doing this? Why aren't they doing this? They should be doing this thing. And eventually, like, I wasted 300 words arguing with myself and then got another 400 words of story. So it sort of worked.
Now that is actually a really good technique, too, and I can't believe I forgot about it. It's called interrogating the idea. If you want to see a really amazing example of this in real time, watch the little independent film The Man from Earth. It's basically a one-act play, eight people sitting around in a room arguing about an idea, and it's utterly riveting. It's really, really well done. And you may need to watch it a couple of times because you may get swept up in the drama. But pay attention to what the characters are doing. What they're doing is they're taking a central premise and they're just asking what seem to be obvious questions about it and then answering them as well as can be done, as well as they can possibly do it, and discovering that the question has really interesting implications that nobody thought about before. So, interrogating the idea, also a very, very useful technique. So thank you very much, Kitty. You rock. Thank you very much. Oh, I guess the other thing to do, the other thing I should suggest is look back a few episodes for the answer to Tim's question on avoiding burnout, I think is what we called it. Avoiding burnout. That's a little bit of a deeper answer about how to keep your creative juices flowing, but you might also find some stuff in there that helps. And, of course, you have also sent in a question about original ideas, which we will tackle in a couple of days here. Thank you very much for sending it in, Sharla. I really hope something here is useful to you, because gotta get you back on the writing train. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.